welcome to part six of our series, My Best Friend. And as we begin this series, this installment of this series, let me pause right here, as we always do at this point in our service, and welcome those that are now currently joining us online. Can you give it up, everybody, for those that are now joining us? Good to have you with us today. We have a lot of people that view our services, and some people that aren't able to be here. Many people are even out of state. We've had some even out of the country just checking us out and being a part of our service. So we welcome you today with us. Let me just say right here again, I did this earlier in the service, but since we're live, I just want to, again, take this moment to honor those who have served in our armed forces, men and women that have fallen, given their ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, and we just want to honor you today. Come on again, everybody. Can we just one more time just honor those that have served, the sacrifices that have been made by them and their families? We're so thankful for you today. Along with that, let me give a shout out and appreciation to a special group of people here at Crosspoint. You know, we have a lot of people that do a lot of things here in serving the Lord. We call it the Dream Team. But I want to break it down even to a smaller component than that, and that is I have an incredible staff. You know who you are. I want to say I appreciate you. I could not do this without you. I'm thankful for every one of you. I was talking to someone before service. You know, there was a moment in Scripture where Moses had to have his hands held up, and he had Aaron and Hur on each side of him holding his hands up. Is that or her? Anyway, two guys holding his hands up on either side of him, you know, so he could just win. And I think we got a lot of people around here that do that to one another. We got a whole team that, if you could just see them, they're in a big circle with all their hands held up, like, you know, we're just, and I tell you, we just got a bunch of winners that are all about, listen, making a difference in the lives of other people. And that's really what this thing is all about. Four things we do around here. We want people to know God. Then we want people to find freedom. Then discover their purpose. And then get on a team and make a difference with their life that it matters in terms of eternity. And I am so thankful. Can you just appreciate those that are serving on our staff? Appreciate you so much and all what you do. Looking forward to some great things happening. We're actually approaching the end of the summer, well, not summer, excuse me, spring, it's getting hot, it feels like it's been summer, but we're approaching the beginning of the summer season, and I tell you, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, they call it the summer slump. I'm believing it's going to be the summer that sizzles, right? I believe it's going to be a sizzling summer, and we got a series that's going to be coming up after this series that you don't want to miss. It's going to be a sizzling series. You're going to be hearing some other voices other than mine. And I just told somebody this morning, I am going to be really just giving myself to the Lord this summer, believing for a phenomenal fall. Fall is a time of harvest. And I'm just believing for great things. In fact, I think we're just going to grow in the summertime, not slump, but we're going to sizzle, right? So I just want to appreciate all those that together with me help make these things happen as we continue to change lives, you know? And God, by the way, guys, one life matters to God. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. He goes out of his way to visit a woman in Samaria that went, and that's the one, but then she ends up winning the whole city, right? But I want to tell you, one life matters, and I want to tell you, every person in this place and watching online, you matter to God. You're important. You're not just a number. You're a person that God wants to have a relationship with. And having said that, let me just kind of segue right into this message, and that is just that God wants to have a personal relationship with you, and He actually wants you to know who He is. And we kind of get an idea of who God is. We know that there's this thing called the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And most of us, we know who God the Father is, and we know God the Son. We get the concept of a Father and a Son, but when it comes to this Holy Spirit, that's sort of mystical. And we kind of either stiff-arm the Holy Spirit or even make fun of some things that we don't always understand. But this series is, we're doing this series to help bring you some understanding where there might be some misconceptions of who the Holy Spirit is. Seven-part series. We're in part six. We'll conclude next week. And I want to look at some things that we've talked about Him that we've learned. First of all, we've talked about who He is, and that is He's not just an it, but He is a person. And that's important because if you understand that He's a person, you'll relate to Him personally. So he is a person. The Bible describes him as a he. And we also learn that he's not weird. People are weird. I'm weird at times, but the Holy Spirit's not weird, okay? We found out that he is actually God. He is the third person of the Godhead. So when you stiff-arm him, you're stiff-arming God. If you say, well, I'm going to stay away from those Holy Spirit people, you're saying, I'm going to stay away from those God people. You know, watch out, stay away from the Holy Spirit. Well, you're saying stay away from God because we learned that he is actually God. And not only that, but he is a friend. He wants to have this friend, this relationship with you to come alongside of us and help us. We also learned that he is fresh air. He is fresh air. He is that power that comes in our life and gives us fresh air. We talked about being filled with the Spirit and kind of gave some understanding of what the three baptisms that are taught in the Scripture. There are actually some separate baptisms. We know the Bible says there's one baptism. Well, that's when it says one Lord, one baptism. It's talking about the baptism into the body of Christ, the salvation. But there's also water baptism. But then there's the Holy Spirit baptism the Bible talks about. We talked about that. The next week we talked about that this gift of the Holy Spirit actually comes bearing gifts. He's the gift that keeps on giving, everybody. So he has gifts for us in the body of Christ. And then last week we talked about a Holy Spirit, that he is a Holy Spirit within me. He comes to give us a new spirit. All of this that we're talking about, you can hear this. If you missed any of this online, go to crosspointworshipcenter.com. There you can hear these messages again. There's also notes that you can download and follow along with us. In fact, today, if you're watching online, right now, the notes are there that you can download for today's message and follow along with us. So if you're here today, get out your message notes. If you haven't already, out of your worship guide, we'll have some fill-in-the-blanks for you. And let me begin with this scripture that is found in Acts chapter 2, which occurred on the day of Pentecost. Next week, you don't want to miss next week, we're going to talk about what Pentecost really means. I think you're going to get a real great perspective of what this Feast of Pentecost is really all about. You don't want to miss the conclusion next week. But to set this scripture up, let me just say, when you ask people what they think about God, you're going to get some different responses. Or you ask somebody, what do you think about Christianity? Or even, what do you think about the church? Different people are going to respond different ways. And sometimes they respond in certain ways where you would say, well, yeah, if that's what you think about church, if that's your perspective, I wouldn't like it either. And the fact is, a lot of times people have gotten different misconceptions based on bad information. And so there's misunderstanding. And I think we've done that with God. In fact, in this scripture, it's a place where there was some misunderstanding, and they were actually even making fun. And so let me set this up. Jesus had come to this earth. He had went to the cross, paid for our sins, resurrected 3 days later, then spent 40 days kind of popping in and out of walls, giving his disciples final instructions. And after 40 days, there was the great ascension there at the Mount of Olives. And then he said, wait 10 more days to go and wait for this promise that you're going to need, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out in a very demonstrative, and some people think an even strange way. But the crowd had a response to that. They were amazed and perplexed. Look at verse 12 here of chapter 2 of Acts. Amazed and perplexed. That was the response of the people. And they asked one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? And it says that some, however, made fun of them and said they just had too much wine. So they began to make fun of them and they couldn't understand. And so that's what happens when we don't understand something. We either keep it at arm's length or even make fun of it. And so Peter stepped up, and he did some explaining. That's what I want to do today. Then Peter stood up with the 11, because Judas was no longer with the 12 anymore. He was now 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd and said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. So that's what we're going to do today, explain this. Let me explain this to you, and listen carefully to what I say. And he goes on to say, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9:00 in the morning. They're not drunk. No, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And I just emphasize that little word, those three words there, this is that. And he referred back, and he then went on and he quoted from Joel, how the Holy Spirit was to be poured out. Now, some of us perhaps have looked at this and said, well, what is that? And you think this is one thing, this is this, but he's saying, no, this is that. So I'm saying it may not be what you think it is or what you thought it was, based on perhaps your history, based on perhaps your experiences, perhaps based on what some people have taught you out in certain religious circles, and they say, well, this is that, that's that. No, it's not that, that, it's not this, it's that. Am I making sense this morning? So I want to help us understand that you thought it was this, but it's actually that. And we reject oftentimes things because we don't have enough information or the right information, and there's misconception. So I want to begin by asking this question about him, and that is, we've talked about who he is, but why do I need him? Why do I need him? Again, why do I need him? It's a him because we can relate to him personally when we understand who he is. And I want to take us to this place of the Last Supper. When Jesus was about to be crucified, y'all seen the drawings of Jesus there. I don't know why are they all set on the same side of the table. Do y'all understand that? You know, the Last Supper? Yeah. It's like the cameras were on that side, so we all got to sit on this side. But Jesus, this was the conversation that Jesus was having. It was about the Holy Spirit in that last setting. In fact, I'm going to give you some scriptures as we go through some questions of why I need him, of what Jesus said to them. And look with me in John chapter 16, in verse 8. First of all, let me give you this point, and that is why I need him. He is my inner voice. He is my inner voice. So Jesus is saying there's going to come inside of you that's going to be able to speak to you from the inside out. John chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus said this, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, I don't know how you read that. It may be that some people have read this. Okay, so Jesus, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's here to make me feel really bad about myself, tell me I'm a sinner, and he's going to judge me. But I don't think that's what is being said here. Saying that the Holy Spirit will come to convict, and that word convict is not condemnation. It's the difference between conviction and condemnation. The devil's job is to condemn you and say you're a loser, you're doing things wrong, there's no way out, and condemn you. But the Holy Spirit's job is to come to convict you, to say, oh, you're going the wrong direction. I'm here to help you and make you aware that what you're doing is wrong. He convicts us. There's this guiltiness within us, and we realize we're sinners. But then there's the righteousness that comes through Jesus and the judgment that Jesus took for us. Are you understanding that? Yes, sin is judged, but it's judged through what Jesus did for us, and now we are made free through him. The Holy Spirit, he comes to convict, though, right? So he says, don't go this way. This is the way out. And there's this inner voice that the Holy Spirit comes and helps us walk in the way that is pleasing to God, in the way of righteousness, right? The Holy Spirit comes to lead us in the ways of life. And there's this inner voice that comes and speaks to us. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had those times when you're about to cross that line, and the Holy Spirit says, I wouldn't do that. Perhaps you've worked a long day at work and you come home and you're ready to vent on the wife and the kids. And the Holy Spirit checks you and says, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Now, if you're wise, you'll listen to that voice. Some people say it's the conscience. It's more than the conscience. It's the Holy Spirit. I've been in conversations where I was about to say something and the Holy Spirit would check me and don't do that. I've also been in conversations where I didn't have anything to say, and the Holy Spirit would give me what to say. And I would speak that. And the person would say, how did you know? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. I've heard of pastors being trained that they say when you're in marriage counseling with a couple and you don't know what to say, just pray. Just pray. And what happens when you start praying is the Holy Spirit begins to get involved in that prayer, and you start praying things that you don't even know. And you get through praying and they say, wow, that was amazing. You prayed exactly what I needed to be prayed about. How did you know? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And he comes to help us. In fact, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in a service just like this, where you're listening to me, but you're hearing words that I'm not speaking because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit is showing you things and beginning to draw you to Him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you listen to Him. There's a voice that God speaks. 1 Corinthians puts it this way in chapter 12, verse 3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, according to Scripture, you can't even declare and know who He is unless the Holy Spirit draw you, unless the Holy Spirit is speaking and drawing you to Him. So, in fact, later in this service, we'll have a moment at the end of this message where I'll say every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'll give an opportunity to lead you in a prayer. And it's at that point that the Holy Spirit will begin to knock in your heart and say, that's you. That's you. I'm knocking at your door. I want you to respond. Perhaps you're not even here, but you're watching online. And it may even be that you're watching this later after it's already been recorded. But yet the Holy Spirit has the power to speak to you. And you're sitting there in your room or wherever you are. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you saying, that's you. That I'm talking to you. Not that preacher's talking to you, but I'm talking to you. And I'm putting a finger on your life. Amen. And amen. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He is my inner voice. Second thing I want us to see, and that is He is my teacher. Why do we need Him? Well, He is my teacher. Yes, you can get revelation without going to 4 years of Bible school. You could take your Bible and you can begin to read it, and the Holy Spirit will show you things that you never saw before. Oh, my goodness. I never saw that before, or I never saw it quite like that before. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit that is teaching you truth. John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus said in that same conversation, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. I love that scripture. Look at that for a moment. I'll teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. One of the things that we need to be clear about when we're talking about the Holy Spirit being our teacher, the Holy Spirit is always here to teach us who Jesus is. He's to teach us the Word, right? What is the Word? The Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is the Word incarnate, right? And so the Holy Spirit is to reveal the Word to us. The Holy Spirit will not give you something that He hasn't heard or learned Himself. He will not give you something abstract that is separate from the Word. His job is to reveal who Jesus is to us. So when you talk about the Holy Spirit teaching us, He's not going to teach you, when you talk about revelation, He's revealing, it may be a new revelation to you, but it's not a new revelation. In other words, He's not going to reveal something separate from what God has already declared. And that's where we get in trouble if we're not careful, because if some other spirit speaking to us when it's guiding us away from this. Well, I got a more superior revelation. Oh, no, you don't. You may have a deceptive spirit that's leading you into error against the Scripture, but God's Word, listen, the Holy Spirit will always confirm God's Word. There's nothing better than this. Can I get a good amen right there? There's nothing better. So He teaches us and He guides us. You can say, well, I believe God's will is, and then it's something that God's Word teaches against. Guess what? That ain't God's will. That's your will. That may be the enemy's will, but it ain't your will. Well, and what always gets me when we talk about this subject about God teaching us and the Holy Spirit teaching us from God's Word is that, listen, there's no other revelation apart from this. And then there's people that say, well, I don't know if God really meant that. And I mean, well, you know, and then they start rationalizing with everything happening around them as to whether or not they're going to believe God's Word. Once again, as a pastor, I just feel responsible to tell you that that's why God is all in trouble at the very beginning of this whole thing. You know that, don't you? It's when God spoke, and then there was the tempter that came to the Garden of Eden. Remember that? And they said, well, but God said... And then the enemy spoke in their ear, well, God didn't really mean that. Oh, yes, he did. And because they strayed from what God said, we've been in a mess ever since. And can I tell you that the issues of our day is not the issues. People argue about different issues of the day. Well, now we're different. We've changed. We've progressed. We're now seeing things from a worldview. Yeah, not a biblical view, right? And so we evaluate the issues of our day as to whether they're right and wrong and whatever, based on society, based on the change. Listen, God's word never changes. I know this is old-fashioned preaching, and this is kind of right up front in your face. I don't mean it to be that way, but I just want to tell you, the word of God will stand. The Ten Commandments cannot be broken. You'll break, but the Ten Commandments are still going to be standing, okay? So God's word is God's word, and I would declare to you that it's not about the issues of the day, but it always comes down to, well, but did God really mean that? This is written by men years ago, et cetera, et cetera. Real red flag there. So really the issue is not about that. It's about this, right? This is that, right? Y'all with me? So it's really not about this. It's about that. So we just need to take the Word of God as the Word of God, okay? Just didn't mean to linger there too long, but He is my teacher. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. It says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and He lives within you, and so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And can I also add to that? There'll be a confirmation in your spirit. If somebody comes to you speaking something that's true, your spirit within you will either confirm that and know it agrees with God's word, or there's going to be a red flag going, something's wrong there. Sometimes you can't even quite put your finger on it, but the Holy Spirit says something's wrong. Maybe good, something, a good principle, but the spirit behind it is wrong and the enemy's behind it and got a wrong purpose, right? So the Holy Spirit is there to teach you. I'm just explaining, this is why we need the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you that in the day that we live, if we've ever lived in a day where we need the Holy Spirit, it's today. There's a scripture in the Bible that says truth has fallen in the street. And I'm going to tell you, we're living in a day where truth has fallen in the street. And we need to understand that your life, if it's going to be built right, if it's going to be built on the rock, on Jesus Christ, it's going to be built on the truth of God's word. And we need the Holy Spirit in a day of great deception to teach us what is right. Good place for an amen right there. Okay. Number three, He is my guide. The Holy Spirit is my guide. And I think we got some people even in this room that have recently graduated. And, you know, you think looking for direction. I was looking at this morning. We were in prayer this morning. I was looking at some prayer cards, and I saw people needing direction, needing guidance for their life and direction. And this is what the Holy Spirit comes to do. He is my guide. John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says this, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, right, from the Father. And He will tell you what is yet to come. Isn't that amazing? So He can also go ahead, He can say, wait a minute, that's not the path to take because that's going to lead to the wrong direction. He'll teach you what's yet to come. He'll help you see down the road. I've actually been in conversations, and I know this is just talking about a conversation, but where if I say, y'all can open up things and create problems just by opening your mouth. You know, you could be in a conversation and you say the wrong thing, and all of a sudden a door is opened, and you're now walking into another room and having a hole, and it leads down the wrong road. It could be at the water fountain at work with that pretty thing. Just saying. It could, right? It could be that you say the wrong thing, but the Holy Spirit checks you and says, if you open that, it's going to lead here and here and here. And you don't want to do that. So the Lord gives you something else to say, or decisions you're making, or right? So He is my guide. Look at Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Anybody know that we need that voice? I need his voice every day, speaking to me, guiding me, helping me make the right decisions, right? Is this good? Is this helping anybody? Here's another reason why we need the Holy Spirit, and it's really how we've titled this series, and that is, he is my best friend. He is my friend, but he's my best friend. He wants to be in relationship with us. Can I explain? The Holy Spirit wants you to be so close to him that you have a conversation with him all day long. That you talk with him. That he's right there. That he's able to speak to you at any moment. And you're able to hear his voice. It's who you talk to before you make that phone call. It's who you talk to before you make that decision. I remember hearing Dr. Paul Youngi Cho from Seoul, Korea. He said he would get up in the mornings and he would say, good morning, Holy Spirit. What shall we do for the Father today? Doesn't that sound like somebody just right there with you going, you got a partner all day long? That's what the Holy Spirit wants to be for you. He wants to be there with you where you're not just trying to figure this out, bumping your head against the wall, banging around, you know, like somebody in a maze trying to figure out where to go next. No, the Holy Spirit is there to be your best friend. And when everybody, as we've sung about this morning, everybody's abandoned us and everybody, you know, people have abandoned you or whatever has happened in your life, the Holy Spirit will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be right there with you. That's what Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What did he mean by that? He's at the right hand of the Father. But he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you, right? So I'm not leaving you abandoned. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to give you a comforter, one come alongside of you and be with you, right? Look at what John chapter 14, verse 16 says, where Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He's going to be with you. He comes alongside. Again, we talked about this the other week, the word parakletos, which means one come alongside. In essence, it's that picture of you're going to pick up this log, and he's on the other end picking up the other end of the log. He's there to help you through that. He's there with you. 2 Corinthians says this, and we've been beginning each installment of this series with this verse, but I just landed it here. It says this, the amazing grace, this is a prayer, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, that's who you need to have a relationship with, or none of this, another rest of this works. We need a relationship with Jesus, the one who paid for our sins for us, and then we can know the extravagant love of God, and then the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Be with all of you. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. So do we understand our need of him? He is there with us. He's there with us to be our inner voice, our teacher, our guide, and our friend. So have I convinced you that we need the Holy Spirit today? Okay. If I've convinced you, then how does this happen? How then do I enter into this relationship with him and have this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 in the Message puts it this way, don't grieve God. And by the way, he's God, right? Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. And it goes on to say, don't take such a gift for granted. So here's what I would ask of you today. If you know your need of him, just simply pray a prayer. And we know that every good gift that comes from God is good. But he says this, here's what I would encourage you to pray, and that is, Holy Spirit, lead me. Write that down. Holy Spirit, lead me. Lead me. Let me give you a scripture that's actually not in your notes. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 36. Says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And so what he's basically saying is going from the external to the internal. So this is not just about a religion following a bunch of rules that are external and it's hard to do. In fact, if that's you and you just, this Christian thing and living right is difficult and hard, I would encourage you, invite the Holy Spirit to come and help you, because What is being proposed here is that something is going to change. It's not just external, but now it's going to be internal. Now there's an internal motivation. Something changes on the inside. So instead of I got to do these, I got to follow this, right? Now it's, oh my goodness, I delight to follow the Lord. It's a game changer. It changes everything. And I think that's why, one reason why Christianity's got such a bad rap, because we made this all about a bunch of external rules. Do this, do that, do this, right? Go home, behave this week, come back next week. If you didn't behave, we'll get you. We'll reiterate the rules again next week and get you right. No, that, let me tell you, it's more that it's where it's changing from the outside to the inside. We invite the Holy Spirit to come into our heart and make a change. It's Jesus, we used to say Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life, right? And then he says, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So the Holy Spirit is going to move us, right? So we invite the Holy Spirit to come. Look, and here's what I would encourage you to pray in this prayer. And that's found in Psalm 139, where David said, search me. I encourage you, pray this every day of your life. If you want to say, what should I pray every day? Pray this one every day. Search me. Search me, O God. And know my heart. And test me and know my anxious thoughts. Is there something that displeases you, God? Is there something that I'm doing that's wrong? Put your finger on it, God. Show me. And see if there is any offensive way in me. And look at this. And lead me in the way everlasting. So that's what we pray. Holy Spirit, come. Show me. Change me. Lead me. Lead me. And I think this is so important that we emphasize this. Because, listen, as a church, we want to grow. Can I tell you, I believe that the key to growth is not just me preaching at people, again, to behave for another week, but rather to lead people to a relationship with God where they experience Him for themselves. Amen? Oh, I heard an amen. Can I get some more amens right there? Come on. I'm going to amen myself. Amen. Amen. Jesus did. He amened Himself. So I'm going to amen myself. Amen. Holy Spirit, lead me. Look at the next step. Next thing I encourage you to pray, and that is, Holy Spirit, free me. Free me. And what I'm saying in that is, free me from the past and the old self, and maybe even the old, dead, stale religion, and change me. Free me from the old self and change me into who You've created me to be. We say around here we want people to encounter the cross, come to know Jesus, and then experience the change. And that's the process. That's being conformed into the image of Christ. It's being freed from the old and discovering a new identity in Christ. And that's a process that we go through. That's why we have the growth track. So you could take some spiritual steps and grow. You know, maybe it's water baptism. Baptism is your step. But listen, every time you take a step, there's growth that happens. So we want to be continue to be changed. How many in here could say, look, I'm not where I want to be and need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Can I get some amen? Amen, isn't that great? So we're in a process. We're all in a process. Not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. And that's the process. We're praying, God, free me and change me. Look at the scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians. It says this, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He comes to free us, right? And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him, and we are changed into His glorious image. So He frees us so that we can be changed from the old and into the new and following Christ and become looking, we look more like Jesus every day. So this thing is not just about being emptied out of sin, emptied out of the bad stuff, but it's about being filled up with the good stuff. It's being filled up with His Spirit. We know it's the Holy Spirit that draws us and brings us to God. We cannot come to God without Him. But we also know that Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you, but will be in you. There is more that we need from Him. Look, does anybody need more? We need more. I got all I need. No, I got all God I need. We all need more of Him. So we're praying, Holy Spirit, come and free me and change me and help me to become more like You every day. Look at this next thing, and that's number three, and that's Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. So we just pray, simply pray this prayer. Give me everything you have. Look, guys, that's a risk-free prayer. You're praying to God to give you everything that he's got. Well, I'm a little bit afraid. No. Again, based on bad information, we stiff-arm God. And the Bible says, don't grieve God. That's what we should be able to say, Holy Spirit, whatever you have for me, come on in. Right? Come into my life. Every gift that you have for me, everything that you purposed in my life, everything that you need me to do for you, God, and that you need to equip me for, God, let it be. Mary didn't even understand it when she was told she was going to have a child. And she said, I don't get this, but hey, according to your word, be it unto me. Here I am. Let it happen. Bring it. Right? Come on. We need to have an attitude of saying, yes, God, in our spirit, whatever you have for me, right? And everything the Holy Spirit has for us is good, right? When we pray to God, God, I want everything I have for you. You think that the devil's going to jump all over you? No, no. It's praying to God. God, give me everything that you have for me. I want more of you, right? So we just pray, God, fill me. Fill me. Give you this scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And I think, really, it's not just talking about one thing there. I don't think it's just talking about wine. I think it's talking about living a life where your senses call the shots, because that's what debauchery is about. Where I'm just living by however I feel, whatever my emotions lead me, and whatever I'm going to get filled up with, so I'm going to get a fix from somewhere. Right? I've heard Christian psychologists say that we have this love tank. If it ain't filled with the good stuff, we're going to find something else to fill it with. I guess that's kind of like our bodies, right? Twinkies and, you know, whatever. You know, I'm getting sidetracked here. My wife's told me before, she said, you know, if you eat more of the good stuff, you can have more. And it satisfies you more than the bad stuff does. Anyway, I don't know how. All right, y'all help me. Help me get back on track. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Don't live your life letting your senses call the shots. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm going after him. I want everything God has for me, because I've had all I need of this world. I just need more of him. Right? So Holy Spirit, come, live inside of me. And then look at Acts chapter 13, verse 52 says this: the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you got multiple baptisms of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that. But it says that they were continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. So they were always, and Lord, I just need more of you. I'm going through something here. I'm going to need you on this one. Holy Spirit, come help me. And they're open to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need your strength. I need your help. I was praying yesterday. I had a rough day yesterday. Anybody have a rough day yesterday? I had a rough day. I'm like, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. God, help me. Help me. Y'all don't pray the kind of prayers I pray, do you? Help me, 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 help me. Lord, help me. Anyway, the Holy Spirit comes and he helps us. But not only that, I had to emphasize this word joy. They were continually filled with joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace. So we need his joy filling us and causing us to follow after him with all of our heart. I want to just say this. God has more for you. God has more for you. And this is not this hierarchy thing. Well, I got more of God than you got. I got this and you got that. What do you have? No, that has no place in the body of Christ. It is not about that. Write this down. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. Because I don't know about you, but I got some bad spirits that sometimes try to come up and attach themselves to me. We can't be possessed, but we can be oppressed, right, at times. The wrong spirit. Adopt the spirits of this world and not the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And I need the Holy Spirit living inside of me so that I can be a better me. Write that down and bow your heads with me, if you would. God, I just pray that we would experience the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit, who's given as a gift, who Jesus said it's important you receive Him. It's important you take Him as your guide, as your teacher, as your friend, as that voice that speaks to us day by day. God, we are dependent upon You. And if we try to do any of this, living this thing out without You, God, it doesn't work. But Your Holy Spirit gives us the power to live this thing out. And God, I just pray that we'd open our hearts to You, everything that You have for us, God. We would know who You are. We'd have a relationship with You. We invite You into every part of our life, and we won't stiff arm You from any area of our life. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you're here today or you're watching online and you're saying, I'm sensing what you spoke about earlier, and I sense the Holy Spirit is knocking on my heart. And I'm ready today to give Him all of my life. I'm ready to go all in. I'm ready to surrender. Because I've tried this on my own and it doesn't work. You may be someone who has not come to Christ, or you may be a Christian who are just trying to live this thing out and you're failing. And you're ready today to surrender everything to God and allow Him to come in and take control of your life. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. I simply want to pray a prayer with you right where you are seated today, or right where you're there watching online. But if that's you today, say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you include me in that prayer? My heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You just slip up a hand and let me know that's you. Yes, yes. Good job, proud of you. Yes. Hands are going up. If you're watching online, you could respond to us there, or you could email us online. Pray with us. And I want to ask everybody in this place, believer and non-believer alike, to join us aloud just for support. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, or you need to make sure you have the right relationship with Him, or you're ready to say, God, I'm going all in, and you're just at this point where I'm going to fully commit today, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. I'm just going to help you with the words. All you've got to do is mean it. But pray with me. Pray this to the Lord right now. Just say this. Say, thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross so I wouldn't have to. Thank you for coming on the inside, cleaning me, making me new. Thank you, Jesus, for paying for my sins. A debt that I could not pay, You paid for me. I accept Your gift of life. I declare You as the Lord of my life. I surrender myself to You. I turn from myself, from my ways, from my past, to follow You today. Come on, say this. I give You my life. Come, live inside of me. Give me the power to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, I thank You for every person who prayed that prayer in minute. And I celebrate today as the first day of the rest of their life. I declare today that all the past is gone. The old is over. It's a new day. It's a fresh beginning. I declare, God, today is a day of new beginning and new birth. I thank You, God, that You have come in to live on the inside. And You've, Lord, everything is brand new. In fact, You don't even consider their sins. What sins are they talking about? God, it's gone. As far as the east is from the west, God, it's a new day. I celebrate with them along with heaven, God. And I pray for them, God, that You, Lord, would fill them, that You would empower them, that You would equip them, that You would guide them, Lord, all the days of their life. And God, this church, make us a church, Lord. God, that is completely yielded to You, Holy Spirit. You would guide us, direct us, that we may fulfill the great commission of reaching people and seeing lives change forever through the grace of Jesus Christ, through the love of the Father, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory for all accomplished. For in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray these things. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, let's thank God for changed lives this morning. Praise God. This is that. That's what it's all about, right? There is changed lives. Amen. Thank God for what decisions have been made in this house.